Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, February 7, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 748 of the Biden-Harris administration, 637 days until the 24th presidential election. Instagram, the Bob Seska. You should follow me on Instagram. I'm posting videos of me saying things on Instagram. The Bob Seska or the Bob Seska, depending on your vernacular. Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go. Spoutable, just Bob Seska without the just. I always screw that up. Our Patreon is BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
You say Buzz Burbank.
Play Freebird.
You said it all.
Hi, good day.
Hi. Sorry, I got caught up in the music. I wanted to hear Freebird.
Ah, well, wait for the phrase that pays, and we'll take requests in the second hour of the show.
I see. Well, hi, everybody. Hi, Bob. He's Bob. I'm Buzz, and we've just raised interest in the show by 0.25%.
Should I start calling you Janet Yellen?
Just by showing up.
Janet Burbank.
I need to start, if I may, by apologizing for some of last week's jokes. Uh-huh. And now, as I understand it, some of them went over like a Chinese spy balloon. It's a note for you comedy aspiring writers out there. It's a lead balloon out, Chinese spy balloon in.
Exactly.
Over the weekend, we learned Donald Trump had failed to shoot down 3 Chinese spy balloons while he was in office. Mm-hmm. The only balloon Trump ever wanted to shoot down is the one with him wearing a diaper.
Which I love. That's the greatest thing ever.
I know. We also learned that previous Chinese balloons flew over Texas and Florida hoping to pick up intelligence. Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't find any.
Sure.
You can joke about your family, right? Here in Florida, though, as part of his war on trans people, Ron DeSantis is threatening to force girls in high school sports to report their menstrual cycles. So in some sports, that entirely changes the meaning of first period.
Oh, man. Okay. Send your complaint letters to Michael J. Elston on Twitter.
If you dare. The man who invented that marshmallowy Easter candy known as Peeps has died at age 98. The family says he will not be embalmed and buried, but instead allowed to gradually harden.
That's my favorite one of the day right there.
And psychiatrists and psychologists say the lies of George Santos now have them considering, for the first time ever, classifying pathological liars as mentally ill.
Hmm.
When they asked Santos for his reaction, he said, that was actually his idea.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, kicking off a brand new week with Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah.
lead vocals by the great Mary in Ann Arbor. There we go. Hi.
It was Thursday, 6:30, saw something floating in the sticks. It was round and huge and white, the Chinese itching for a fight. Bang, bang, he shot them down. Bang, bang, not like that clown. Bang, bang, that Brandon sound. Bang, bang, Joe Biden shot it down. Fox News and their ilk did whine, saying Biden had no spine. That jive they'd put upon the shelf. Trump had balloons, 3 to himself. Bang, bang, we shot that down. Bang, bang, oh, how they frowned. Bang, bang, how sweet the sound. Bang, bang, their talking point shot down.
All right, Mary in Ann Arbor and the great Rocky Mountain Mike. Of course, Rocky MNT and Mike on Twitter. Yes, indeed.
Thanks, kids. And if you follow Rocky Mountain Mike on Twitter, and you should, he tried an experiment with that artificial intelligence.
Oh, yeah?
That chat GPT or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he asked it to write a parody song about the balloon from Up, Up, and Away. And then he published the lyrics that AI came up with. And it's horrible. And the good news is Rocky Mountain Mike's job is safe.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
Because my job isn't safe. And I'll tell you exactly why.
Why?
Because AI music, and I'm totally serious when I say this. Oh, I think I mentioned this last week. AI music. I'm going to get flooded with AI music submitted by people who aren't recording artists, who aren't musicians, who put in like 3 words into an app.
Yeah. If they're as crappy as what Mike got out of AI, then I don't think you have anything to worry about either.
Well, it's going to get better. That's the thing. And that's I'm concerned about how digital music now, Spotify and all the various music platforms, are just going to be inundated with hundreds of thousands of AI songs. And we're not going to be able to know the difference between the real ones and the fake ones. What's a real life human being? What's an AI app? It's just going to be so confusing, and consequently, a lot of us, including myself, I mean, we're all going to be fooled by this crap, and so there needs to be something, some kind of marker, or I don't know what they can do to say that, okay, this was created by AI. This was not a bunch of musicians in a room or one person in their home studio assembling all the parts, that this was completely digital. This is a fabrication from beginning to end. And most of the time, derivative of other people's work.
Right.
So,
right.
And I'm desperately trying to get Rick Beato. He's a music YouTuber, one of the most popular YouTubers around. Trying to get him back on the show to talk about AI. He did a whole episode about it.
I have to admit that in the end, the goal is what I said last week. They're coming to kill us all.
Yes, absolutely. Did you see the video going around Twitter of all of the robots doing calisthenics in unison?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's the march. Yeah, March of the Machines, as we called it. Yeah.
Yeah. And robots are strong, and they eat old people's medicine for fuel. So be careful. So the State of the Union tonight, that's happening, I don't know, what time, 8, 9 o'clock tonight. Some of you will have already seen it by the time you listen to this show. But whenever the State of the Union rolls around, I always think of this one bit that I have that I've been carrying around for, now it turns out, 20 years.
Wow.
I have a recording of George W. Bush's 2003 State of the Union.
Okay, right.
And I don't know if you remember how kooky George W. Bush was. I think we forget because Donald Trump is so kooky, but George W. Bush was super duper kooky. And this is a bit of his State of the Union address from 20 years ago, 2003.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, distinguished citizens and fellow citizens. Every year, by law and by custom, we meet here to threaten the world.
Hey, I told you.
The American flag stands for corporate scandals, recession, stock market declines, blackmail, terror, burning with hot irons, dripping acid on the skin, mutilation
there,
with
George.
Electric drills.
That's
cutting
I don't know
out
about.
Tongues,
that doesn't that? Sound right.
No.
And rape.
No. That's not.
Our first goal is to show utter contempt for the environment.
Yeah.
I have sent you a I have sent you a comprehensive energy plan to devastate communities, kill wildlife, and burn away millions of acres of treasured forests.
Hey, it worked.
Yeah, it did. Good job.
This government is taking unprecedented measures to protect our people and defend our homeland. We've begun inoculating troops and first responders against ballistic airports.
Good.
And this year, we must offer every child in America 3 nuclear missiles.
Well done, Mr. President.
And tonight I have a message for the people of Iraq. Go home and die.
Yeah, that was
tough words.
Touchy diplomatic moment.
And restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option.
See, there you go.
Not anymore.
You think, oh my God, Trump was crazy, but
when's the last time the State of the Union speech mattered?
I don't know, and
I mourn that. I mean, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter anymore. It should still, but what's the point of doing it in an age where you have this childish Republican divide?
Yeah,
and I'll be watching the State of the Union speech tonight for one reason and one reason only, because I have every confidence in what Joe Biden has to say, and I know he's going to try to take a very bipartisan approach tonight. And
yeah,
good luck to us all. But what I'll be watching for is Republican misbehavior during the speech.
Oh, of course,
it seems like a lock that's going to happen, and so it's watching the race to see which car spins out. That's the only reason I have for watching a speech that I otherwise have complete confidence in.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, I think, just from the perspective of knowing what the Biden agenda is going to be for the next year or so. And,
and for
Joe Biden also to lay out all the accomplishments of his administration, which I think, as we will discuss during the Shadow Docket portion of today's show, is so mandatory because there are so many Americans, including Democrats, who need to start reading the news. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, where you have a clearly successful presidency with myriad accomplishments, and Democrats are like, whatevs, you know.
We will have a lot to say about
that
in the Shadow Docket today. It's another tragic situation.
As one of those things where it reminds me of when Barack Obama was president, especially Obama's first term, where we would hear constant whining from liberals about, oh my God, Barack Obama is such a disappointment because, and oh my God, I voted for Barack Obama. What has he done for me lately? And it's just, it's so immensely frustrating to see people looking a gift horse in the mouth like that, to understand that we have an historically successful first 2 years of a presidency here. We have a president, by the way, who is comporting himself with decency and decorum for a change, for the first time, certainly, since Barack Obama. And how important that is, how important stability is. Now, set aside, of course, the demagoguery from the Republicans regarding Joe Biden. I know, like, Lauren Boebert was screaming about the barricades they put up around the Capitol and saying, oh, what's going to happen? Are they worried about Joe Biden wandering off during the address? You know, put all that crap aside. Among normals, among historians, among anyone who understands what the presidency is all about, Joe Biden is doing a fantastic job. And we're gonna, as I said before, we're going to cover a lot of this in the Shadow Docket portion of the show as we talk about that outlier Washington Post, ABC News poll. At least I believe it's an outlier, because the results of that thing were really disturbing and bizarre. But yeah.
Yes.
One of the things Joe Biden's going to do tonight is call for a tax on billionaires. Thank God. I'm all for it now. Since Elon Musk emerged on the Twitter scene, it has put me squarely in the category of supporting a 90% income tax, bringing back that 90% tax bracket for billionaires specifically.
Absolutely. And a windfall tax on the oil companies while we're at it, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's not part of his proposal tonight, nor do I expect it to be in the near future, but Americans need to start demanding that as well.
No one needs $200 billion, do they? I mean, honest to God, would Elon Musk be okay with just $200 million? I think you would. I think anyone would. I think some of the wealthiest people that we could name that we maybe see on television or maybe one of the Real Housewives shows or whatever, they're in the range of, what, 50, 80 million? There's one guy I'm thinking of whose wife is on one of those shows.
See, that guy with the wife on
the Real Housewives show. Yeah. He's very rich, and so is she, and he's only got $80 million. If you knew who I was talking about, you'd be completely blown away by this reference. But I can't think of the goddamn name of the
person. I don't watch The Housewives.
All right. Well, some people who do.
I didn't know. Oh, I see. Okay.
Some people who do will get it from my clues, because that's... I can't come up with a name right now.
I'll
it's Tuesday.
Say no more.
Yeah, it's the Tuesday show. What can I say? Yeah, according to Bloomberg, President Biden will call for quadrupling the levy on corporate stock buybacks and renew his calls for a minimum tax on billionaires during his State of the Union address tonight. The administration is issuing proposed guidance, quote, to ensure construction materials from copper and aluminum to fiber optic cable, lumber, and drywall are made in America. There.
And that creates jobs, obviously, in the United States. And that's really what this, one of the great effects of this, of not only fixing the infrastructure, but providing all these really good construction jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. He's also going to call for expanding a $35 a month price cap on insulin that he championed to all Americans, good. Not just for Medicare recipients. So I'll be interested to see if the Republicans applaud this plan to make sure that construction materials come from America. I doubt they will, just because they're that awful. They're that ridiculous. They're that childish. They can't be seen as applauding Joe Biden for any reason whatsoever.
That would be the, yeah, that's what we expect. I think he's going to try to pull applause out of them. And traditionally, he might get a little at first, but it's after that that the moaning and groaning will start, I suspect.
Exactly. And also, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is doing the response tonight.
Yes.
I hope it's as embarrassing as some of the previous ones.
I'm sure it will be in its own way, if nothing else.
What is it about the response to the State of the Union? Why are they unable to get it right? Because every time, and it's almost bipartisan this way, for some reason, the way it's set up, or maybe they take too long between starting the shot and the whoever's delivering the remarks to start
awkward,
talking.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like when Bobby Jindal.
On.
Yeah,
you're on.
Exactly. Start, go. It was like when Bobby Jindal was on and he did that slow walk toward the camera that seemed to take an hour and a half before he started talking. And so there's something about, I don't know what it is. I guess it's in contrast. Maybe if it wasn't preceded by such hoopla where you're in the House chamber, there are those big applause breaks. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and the procession down the center aisle and all of that. Maybe it's just a matter of thinking, well, okay, well, nothing's going to reach that level of fever pitch.
You know? The response, no matter which party it comes from, is a non sequitur because it's recorded in advance and frequently doesn't touch on the same topics as the State of the Union address that preceded it. It's all gotten rather silly, actually, and I'm finding it difficult to take State of the Union less seriously much anymore, because as you said, it's not going to change any Republican minds.
Yeah.
Biden will try to attempt for some bipartisanship on things like the cancer moonshot. It's like, go ahead, I dare you to vote against cancer cures. Some things they will go along with, but most of it they're going to see as socialism. And even though the government can benefit greatly from the money that it gets from taxing the rich.
Yeah, I think there's something else about it though that is important, and it's just a matter of continuity. It's just a matter of tradition. It's one of those things that we've done every year. And I think it provides some level of comfort, however divided we are right now. The level of comfort, I think, stems from the fact that even though they're constantly beating each other over the heads with shovels, there's something positive about seeing all the Democrats and all the Republicans and the president and the speaker and the vice president all in the same room together.
Yeah. Oh, like I said, I'm mourning the loss of this institution, but I do worry that it is in fact lost. I mean, to expect a different result is insanity, right?
I mean,
this seems to be what we're locked into. If things were to change somehow, and maybe the right speech will come along one day that will change it, but I don't suspect it'll be tonight.
Yeah, I think also there have been some speeches in the past. Obviously, some of them were speeches to joint sessions like that. Others were inaugural addresses and so on, where, you know, the asked nots of the world of American oratory. And the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Things like that. Those are outliers. That seldom, if ever, happens. Yeah. And I think... Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I think the expectation of meeting that level of quality and that level of historical resonance, I think is maybe the wrong expectation to have going.
Well, and there may be somebody out there who's capable of that, but I don't know that Americans are of a mind or a mood to hear it or recognize it when they see it, which is the aspect I'll be talking about in the shadow docket today when we talk about how the Biden administration is rated.
Well, I think it's also, too, about not just Americans, but people overseas. Because we are still, in spite of our problems, and we've got many, many problems, we are still admired by other nations. Not every nation, certainly not, but by emerging democracies, established democracies, we're still the leaders of the free world, so to speak. And
more so now than 3 years ago.
Yeah. Certainly. And so I think from the stability standpoint of both democracy and our economy, I think it's important for other nations to see us playing nice, even if it's for an hour. And that's why.
Well, and I hope we do. Like I said, I'm expecting Republican misbehavior tonight. But
And fuck them for doing that, by the way. Mm-hmm. You never see. And this is where the both sides thing falls apart with the political press. You never see Democrats acting like dipshits during a joint session address. Never once did a Democrat stand up and scream, "You lie," at Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump lied 30,000 times during his one term as president, 30,000 times, and not one disruption, not one disruptive remark. I think that's obviously not something that is necessarily noteworthy, but I think when we're talking about both sides and the comparison between the Republicans and Democrats, well, there's a great example how the Democrats are the grown-ups and will remain the grown-ups. In spite of their problems, in spite of some things that maybe you might, look down upon the Democrats for, fact of the matter is they are the grown-ups and they will continue to be the adults in the room.
And I'm not arguing for the end of the State of the Union address. I'm just saying it isn't as meaningful as it used to be. And perhaps it will be again someday. But right now it isn't as meaningful as it used to be because you've got one side that's a nanny nanny boo boo. They're not going to listen to it. And then the other side, of course, fully supports the president. And the bulk of Americans, and this is part of the problem, will not be watching. Certainly, Republican viewers will not be watching as hard as it is to avoid, or they'll hate watch it. They'll watch it for the purpose of hating on Biden.
Yeah.
But no matter how he frames some of these ideas, Republicans will find a way to frame it as socialism, and they won't, they're not going to budge from where they are.
Yes, indeed. Well, so I guess we got to talk about the end of the balloon story. I'm so glad balloon discourse is starting to slowly die off because it was as dumb as you would imagine it to be going in. U.S. officials, by the way, this is according to Jim Sciuto. He said U.S. officials say they were able to block the balloon from gathering intelligence during its overflight of the United States. So they were able to, able to stop it from doing what it was intended to do without shooting it down over populated areas.
Right.
While the U.S. military was also able to turn the table, so to speak, to gather intel on the balloon itself and its equipment. So overall, and then, of course, Joe Biden shot it down over the Atlantic Ocean. Overall, that is unequivocally a victory. Everything was done perfectly. Right. See aforementioned grown-ups in the room.
The remnants and the remaining parts that are recovered, and they will be recovered, will reveal perhaps even more intelligence for the U.S. about Chinese technology.
Yes. So, naturally, the Republicans behaved like the shit-kicking gomers they are.
Well, Bob, it gave them a chance to distract from the fact that they're going to trash the economy and trash the federal budget. This was a, thank God there's a balloon, and it got them off. It got them off the debt limit battle.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, at right at the correct time for them, because I think Joe Biden pulled a rabbit season duck season on Kevin McCarthy in their meeting at the White House. He turned out and said, I mentioned this last week, bears repeating, and he's like, oh yeah, had a great meeting with Kevin McCarthy. What a swell guy. He, you know, lots of things, made lots of progress. I really kind of like Kevin McCarthy. He's a good guy, which obviously will send all the Republicans and red hats and the entire cult into conniptions, totally losing their spadoinkle and all the rest of it. And so the balloon came along just in time.
The whole thing was perfectly handled.
Oh, yes, of course. But the Republicans all had to posture, put on their gun-toting cosplay, Carrie Lake wearing her camo down in a crouched sort of military-style position with her firearm in Arizona, nowhere near the goddamn balloon. And it wouldn't even mattered if the balloon was right over Carrie Lake's head. It was flying at about 60,000 feet. That's like close to 12 miles in altitude.
If you have a gun that can shoot that high, NASA would like a word with you.
Yes. The farthest a bullet can travel into the air, the most powerful bullet, can only reach the altitude of 10,000 feet.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, so if they had actually tried to shoot it down, like if J.D. Vance had actually tried to shoot it down as was portrayed in that photograph of him, they would have missed by 50,000 feet in altitude. It would just would have...
And as sometimes happens on the 4th of July, when rednecks shoot their guns into the air to celebrate that, or the new year, whatever the occasion may be, many of them didn't know or had forgotten that what goes up must come down.
Yeah.
And that a bullet falling from any significant altitude will kill you.
Exactly. I mean, don't they know, red hats, don't you know that your party leadership specifically is playing you? They are pandering to you.
Balloon, run for your lives.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing with J.D. Vance and Don Jr. and all the rest of them, let's shoot the balloon down with a bullet. All they're doing is like LARPing as one of you, and they're not like one of you. They're
I
not.
Say good, yeah. I say good for Biden. You know, if he shoots down two more, he wins a teddy bear. To pop three balloons, you get a bear.
So you can't do it. You can't shoot this shit down.
No, not reasonably, no.
Meantime, Donald Trump denied that there were any balloons entering.
Because he didn't know. Because the U.S. military didn't know. And people are scrambling around trying to figure this out. Here's, as I understand it, and it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
The military did have reports of these balloons, but they were down as UFOs. They were never identified specifically as Chinese spy balloons.
Wow.
The military knew they were there, but they didn't seem to pose any threat, and they didn't even know, you know, what the sort. They were classified as unidentified. they were literally UFOs.
Yes.
And so that gets put in a different pile. That's how that happened. That's how it happened that the Pentagon allowed three other balloons to drift over parts of this country or this country's waters in some cases.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until just now that we realized, we could see it, first of all. That's a Chinese spy balloon. And they went back and checked their records and found out, oh, my gosh, they've been here before.
Whoops.
Yeah. And I posted, just for my own edification, I posted the lyrics to the song 99 Red Balloons. It was a hit in 1984.
Yes.
And I think I certainly was not really aware of the lyrics. I thought it was a happy little tune about balloons.
About nuclear war.
between the cocaine and the dancing, I'm not sure a lot of people made out the words, but it's actually a beautiful piece of poetry. And if I may, from the second verse, and this really sums things up, 99 red balloons floating in the summer sky, panic bells, it's red alert, there's something here from somewhere else. The war machine springs to life, opens up one eager eye, focusing it on the sky. The 99 red balloons go by. There was this, this militarization among Americans. And, I don't know. If most people are like me, I'm not sure they ever were able to make out all the words, even back in the day. And I don't know if they paid. Maybe I'm the only one who didn't pay attention. But I think too many people are not aware of the lyrics and the importance of them. Look up the lyrics to 99 Red Balloons. It's a beautiful poem in and of itself, aside from being a peppy little tune.
We may have to do that as a bit from now on. Buzz Burbank reads lyrics from 80s pop songs.
I'd be happy to do that. I was there.
Broken Wings by Mr. Please.
Yeah, what I'm not going to do is try to give it a dramatic reading like William Shatner. I'm not going to do that.
Well, Donald Trump said it never happened with us under the Trump administration, and if it did, we would have shot it down immediately, he told Fox News Digital. It's disinformation, he said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump loves to say what he would have done if he had been president or not president or whatever, because he loves to play that game.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that a little more later, because, I think we need to talk about Mark Pomerantz and the possibility that Donald Trump is too insane to stand trial.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And this, I think, dovetails nicely with what he was saying about Ukraine as well, the Ukraine invasion. But we're going to talk about that later on in the show. And before we get into that, I want to talk about TikTok and the latest regarding bans on the use of TikTok and how this is now bipartisan. I saw a lot of complaining about Greg Abbott and his ban on TikTok for, now make sure he's not saying you have to stop using TikTok, you personally at home. He's talking about public employees who work for the, in this case, the Texas government and so on. And I think this is a smart move. It's Greg Abbott. Yes, I know. It seldom happens, if ever. But this, I think, is a smart move.
It's Chinese intelligence, and it poses a risk to all government.
Plus, Republicans are freaking out about the Sam Smith and Kim Petras performance of Unholy at the Grammys. The music is satanic nonsense has returned from the 1980s to haunt us and to censor our music. And so we're going to talk about that.
That may be, but I think more people are talking about the look J-Lo was giving Ben Affleck at that.
Yeah, I saw that too. I don't know. That's actually a neck and neck competition between the Ben Affleck clip and the clip of the performance of Unholy, which is actually a pretty good song. I hadn't heard it before, honestly, because I don't listen to modern pop music because I'm old. But it's a great song. And the performance, I thought, was exactly what the music industry should be doing. Raising eyebrows, pushing the envelope of what's acceptable in our society. And it worked. They successfully trolled. They successfully owned the Republicans, in a sense. So we'll talk about that. Plus, Kevin McCarthy accidentally blamed Trump for spending, for out-of-control spending. We'll talk about that here still to come on the show. Okay. So, if you're only listening to the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts and so on, you're only hearing the first hour of the show. You're only hearing like the first two-thirds of the show. There's an additional 20-30 minutes of show that rolls after the end credits, and it's called The Shadow Docket. That all happens on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. I just wanted to mention here, as I was stalling for time, some of our brand new subscribers, some of our brand new patrons on our Patreon page. Robert Collier.
We welcome them all. Yes.
Yeah, Melissa Peters, Mary Mendonca. Some of these last names I'm going to completely butcher. Deb.
I think you got Mary right.
Okay. That's the easiest part of that one. Susan Hvidsen. That's a tough one. Shoya Rose, Thomas Staley, Scottsdale Steve in Arizona, Kate Moss. I don't think it's the Kate Moss, but I don't care. This Kate Moss is way better. Liz Burns, Chris Essler, David Bershass, Tara Lynn, Sandra, Kelly Schultz, Todd Jacob, and that's as far down as the list will go on my app. Okay, so yes, congratulations. Thank you for signing up. Thank you, and welcome. I can't thank you enough for signing up on our Patreon page. It's very much appreciated. And what we're doing is, if you sign up, you're not just supporting this independent podcast. We're also giving back. We're also giving you lots of bonus content, including the Shadow Docket, which drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows. It's only going to cost you $5 per month, those of you who aren't subscribed yet. So you go to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, sign up for $5 a month, the Shadow Docket level. And you'll love it. You'll love the last act of the show. Some of the funnest stuff happens during that portion of the program.
Usually really drunk by then.
Yeah, we take off our pants. It's a whole thing. $5 per month, and you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast. Don't miss out. BobSeskaShow.com, Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Take your pick. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you in advance.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Dance floor attempt, music is killing. I don't understand. People drink pills instead. People drink pills instead. Letting the music go to waste. Lord, it just ain't fair. Hit the floor and I work it, work it.
Oh yeah, brand new to the show. This is a great Vixen Noir single called Passion. Right now. Description, link in. Click it, buy everything by Vixen Noir. So in my butchered backwards Yoda English there, I meant to say link in the description to support Vixen Noir. Oh my God, I just received her submission a couple of days ago. And she is connected to King Cyborg, who we premiered last week. And I got to get King Cyborg on the Wednesday interview show because she has an amazing story to tell. And so we're working on that right now. And
I look forward to that.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, Vixen Noir is going to be working on a project with King Cyborg. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show, and we thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of music, I didn't watch the Grammys because
I never watched
the Grammys. Yeah. Well, it's, you know what, Buzz? It's a couple of things. It's one, I'm old, and my taste in music is likewise old.
Right. Well, you were never a pop guy to begin with.
Well, actually, I was. Yeah. You know. I mean, I think a little bit. I was certainly, like, the first 2-3 years of high school, I was really a pop guy. And then I became a heavy metal guy. And then I became a prog rock guy. Uh-huh. And then I became, like, an alternative music guy. So that's been sort of my evolution. And I've carried all those musical styles with me. I've got a lot of pop music in my iTunes. Okay. Obviously now my loyalties are with independent recording artists like Vixen Noir.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and the great Freak Bass and Michael McDermott right. and Bob Malone. And God, I could do this all day.
It's a feast.
Yeah, so when I watch the Grammys, what happens is I just get sad and disappointed. Because I believe that these recording artists that we feature on the show should be receiving that level of adulation and recognition and fame and
That's
fortune and all the rest of it. Yeah, yeah. It motivates me to get the word out about these recording artists. But at the same time, Thanks. When I see what is populating mainstream music these days mm-hmm. with, God, the aforementioned AI and auto-tune and all the rest of it, I just go... So I typically, and it was something that started back when I was in college, you know, because you get into college and you become super arrogant about your favorite music. And I certainly was. And that's when my sort of, I'm not watching the Grammys boycott began. But regardless, this is all leading up to this great song by Sam Smith and Kim Petras. All that yes. said, Buzz, this song Unholy is genuinely a good song. And Sam Smith performed this with Kim Petras wearing, like, I wouldn't say it was devil costumes. They were just mainly red. He had a red top hat that had devil horns on it.
Okay.
And it's a song that's not about Satanism or the devil or hell or anything like that. It's about adultery. And Donald Trump should know a thing or two about adultery.
I hear he does.
Yes, that's what I'm told. More money paid to Stormy Daniels than paid in federal income taxes a couple of years there.
Their receipts.
Yeah, and so the Republicans are losing their minds over this. Like, oh my God, I can't believe these devil-worshipping pop artists who performed this. Oh, what are we going to do about the children? It was like the Janet Jackson nipple slip all over again, and I'm sure you remember that quite well.
Very, very well. It changed radio careers.
It changed radio, period. Oh my God, the outrage about seeing a woman's nipple suddenly on the Super Bowl. It was like Janet Jackson ignited like a dirty bomb in the middle of the Super Bowl. How could she? How could she do this?
God, this country needs to grow up.
Yes, no shit. So, for example, Ted Cruz said, this ... is ... evil. Then political podcaster Red Hat Liz Wheeler said, don't fight the culture wars, they say. Meanwhile, demons, oh God, talk about an overreaction. Mm-hmm. Demons are teaching your kids to worship Satan. I could throw up. No, they're actually not. It was like, God, I was rocketed right back to the late 1980s and the PMRC and those hearings up on the Hill.
I wouldn't be surprised. There could be hearings again.
Both Democrats and Republicans were concerned trolling about Twisted Sister lyrics and Ozzy Osbourne lyrics. And it took Dee Snider and fucking Frank Zappa to go up on the Hill and to set them straight and to say, this is what this is all about, you fucking whiny diaper babies. But we're back right at that level again. Matt Walsh said, it's not surprising to see a satanic ritual at the Grammys. Mm-hmm. Satanism is the worship of the self. I thought it was the worship of Satan.
I'm confused.
I am confused too. Much of modern pop music is satanic in this sense. Leftism is Satanism. The only change is that now they're being more explicit about it.
Leftism is Satanism. You see what he's trying to equate there.
Yep. This is Alex Jones. This is the Alex Jonesification of the Republican Party because he's constantly screaming about goblins and Satanism and Satan worshipers. I mean, this is a fully 1,000% Alex Jones kind of attack. Walsh added, theological Satanism is not very common, but the worship of the self, which we might call secular Satanism. No, don't do that to the English language. What we might call secular Satanism is the predominant religion in our culture. No, it's not. No, Christianity. Okay. And most of the art we produce is meant to preach this gospel. I know we on the right probably use the word satanic too often. Oh, you think? But this performance from Sam Smith is literally a tribute to Satan. Well, guess what? These fucking assholes are making sure that Smith and Petras sell a million, billion, gazillion copies, 11 billion copies of this single.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Which, thank you, Red Hats.
For decades, Republicans have garnered votes by manipulating people.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best educated people in many cases, but they've been garnering votes by presenting to people these social challenges. And it started with Christian conservatives, you know. As you can see today, this radical Christianity has reared its head again.
Yeah.
But throughout these recent decades, because that was their magic key to winning, mm-hmm. Republicans focused on these so-called social warfare arguments, which allowed them to distract from all the other crooked stuff they're doing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is... This is one of the dumbest things that's come along, but completely not surprising. If you want to practice your religion privately, whether it's in your own home, in your own head, however you want to practice your religion that doesn't intrude on the public square, have at it. I will never, ever ridicule you for that. But when it comes to proselytizing in public and codifying your religious dogma into secular law, which invariably tramples civil liberties. It tramples art, music, culture.
It has trampled lives throughout history.
Religious theocracy throughout human civilization has destroyed societies. You cannot find one thriving democratic or democratic-ish society or government that is theocratic. If you look back through the history of human civilization, you will find one civilization after another collapsing under the unwieldy girth of religious theocracy. And so that's just setting that all up. Anyone who is above the age of 6 years old and who still believes in the existence of Satan living under the crust of the earth and presiding over this realm of torture and pain. It's one of those things where, yes, I get it when it comes to teaching six-year-olds about morality. Mm-hmm. But for grown-ups, if you actually think that there is a person named the devil, then are you also concerned about goblins and orcs? That's the question.
I believe to a large extent, most humans are born with an understanding of right and wrong. I think you know it's not right to kill somebody. You know, you know when you do something, whether it's right or not, for the most part. That doesn't mean it doesn't have to be taught. It certainly can be, but it doesn't have to be in a religious package that these concepts are presented. These are important concepts. I don't dispute them at all. If somebody says, I'm praying for you or God bless you to me, I thank them.
Yeah.
Even if I don't believe what they believe, because they're sending good vibes. How can I hate that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, no, I have no animosity toward religion, except when it intrudes on people's lives.
That's exactly right. Religion should be a private thing. It should be between you and your God, and not between you, your God, and your government. That's not how it's meant to work, at least not in the United States, where we have a wall of separation between church and state. This is well-worn territory. I don't need to go over it again, but that's the way things work here. And I think much of the animosity toward religion stems out of that proselytizing, stems out of that sort of missionary aspect, where it's not just enough for you to believe in certain things and have a moral compass along those lines. You have to foist it upon other people who you are judging as being, and by the way, God has some things to say about judging in the Bible.
Yeah,
you are judging people, and then you wonder why are they bristling at this? Why do they hate my religion? Why? Well, because you're forcing it on people. Stop doing that. And so that all is a long way around to say, no, the song, it's not satanic. Pop music isn't satanic, except when it is. Norwegian, what is it? Norwegian death metal or whatever. That gets into the realm of some Satanism, but it's funny. To me, that shit is funny as fuck. Because again, yeah. they're worshiping an invisible man with devil horns called right. Satan that lives under the earth and yada, yada, yada. It's just hilarious to me. It's like when I see an Iron Maiden album cover, it's not only cool and well executed from a craftsmanship point of view, mm-hmm. but it's also a little bit funny because you've got this demon and it's doing
fantasy.
Stupid
it's
shit.
Fantasy.
Yes, it's fantasy. It's, exactly
it's
right.
Fantasy. It's like putting a dragon on the cover. You know, you're allowed to put a dragon on the cover. That doesn't mean you worship dragons.
Yeah.
It's art. It's just art. Take a chill pill.
So Kevin McCarthy accidentally blamed Donald Trump for out of control spending. Just to give you a whiplash segue right there. He said in one of his little public videos, he said, thanks to 4 years of runaway spending by the Democrats. Remember, 4 years of runaway spending uh-huh. by Democrats. Uh-huh. We're only 2 years into the Biden administration.
Right.
They increased annual discretionary spending by $400 billion. That's a 30% increase in just 4 years. They took our nation's credit cards, spent like crazy, and left us in a deep debt. But not once did they seek or accept any responsibility, McCarthy said. So a couple things about this.
Thanks for the pandemic help.
Yeah. Well, in it turns out that Joe Biden reduced the federal budget deficit by half.
Yes.
Dropped it down to $1.4 trillion and continuing to drop. And Donald Trump did preside over a 30% increase in the national debt mm-hmm. because of that tax reform bill.
Also true.
Yes. Gigantic tax breaks for the wealthiest people. Now, Kevin McCarthy wants poor and middle class Americans to pay for it through like draconian spending cuts that are right. nothing but punitive. So the thing that jumped out about this to me, though, is when he said 4 years of runaway spending. Two of those years were when Donald Trump was president. And shocker, I know it's difficult for Republicans to understand a Schoolhouse Rock cartoon. But in order for spending to become law, it has to be signed by the president. The House of Representatives right. cannot unilaterally pass spending legislation.
Right.
And for a bunch of those years, Democrats were in control of the House of Representatives, but Donald Trump was president. So right. Donald Trump, the buck stops with him. He mm-hmm. put his jagged, weirdo, Sharpie signature on all mm-hmm. of that legislation and then showed it off like a big boy. That was him, not yeah. the Democrats in Congress. I mean, certainly they handed him some of that spending.
The tax breaks for the rich yeah. are what put us in the economic situation we're in. It's not we can handle it. But if you want to talk about who's to blame yeah. and what's to blame, that's it.
Well, what the Democrats do, because as we've been saying, they are the grown-ups in the room. When they pass spending legislation, they also include legislation to pay for that spending. To cover it, whether it's a tax increase. You know, there were tax increases for rich people in the Inflation Reduction Act, mm-hmm. as we were talking about before.
Right.
These are things that the Democrats always do. They spend responsibly. That's why Joe Biden has presided over a 50% decrease in the budget deficit, because they do the responsible thing, right?
Right.
So, and that's just a little taste of, I think, the coverage on this show as we move forward in time closer and closer to June when the debt ceiling hits the fan, so to speak.
And to the shadow docket where we talk about the media and America's reaction to these financial developments.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting shadow docket for sure. I try not to be too Debbie Downer about shit. Try not to deliver too much tough love. But sometimes these things are disturbing, and
that's what I'm bringing. That's what I'm bringing today is tough love.
Good, good. Then we'll both do that. meantime, Trump said he would have ended the Ukraine invasion within 24 hours.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah. If I were president, the Russia-Ukraine war would never have happened. Never in a million years. But even now, if I were president, I'd be able to negotiate an end to this horrible and rapidly escalating war within 24 hours. Yeah, and you know what, Donald? If I were president, I'd solve the invasion within 12 hours. So neener, neener, neener.
Yeah.
And you know what else? I'd give everyone jetpacks made of beef. If I were president. I know they don't exist. No one's invented them yet, but there they go. Yeah. And the, so the, that's what I would do if I were president. See how that works? You know, if you imagineer things, then you can say whatever you want about what happens in your imagination. That's why they call it imagination. But yeah, anything goes when you're not the president, talking about what it would be like if you were the president.
If only he hadn't been soundly defeated in the election. If only he hadn't been soundly defeated in the election, then he might have had a chance to do that.
Yes, within 24 hours. You know what?
Or not.
I'd solve it in 24 minutes. So fuck you.
Yeah.
God damn. So Mark Pomerantz says that Donald Trump is absolutely guilty of financial crimes. We're going to talk about this. And an interesting tidbit he revealed regarding Donald Trump's mental state and discussions that were being had inside the DA's office in Manhattan regarding that as being a possible fly in the ointment. Like, how do we prosecute someone who is clinically insane, who doesn't know the difference between fact and fiction?
You know, this is dangerous territory to me. The controversy over Mark Pomerantz's book is that he has perhaps revealed some investigative techniques and some of the thinking behind the prosecutor's work that could squirrel the work, that could ruin the investigation or at least damage the investigation that Alvin Bragg is now well into, apparently ready to actually file charges now against Donald Trump, criminal charges. And we're hoping that Pomerantz hasn't screwed the pooch here by revealing too much. And when it comes to Trump being insane, see, I wish he hadn't published that from the standpoint of I don't want to give the Trump defense any ideas here. I don't know if that's occurred to them at any point. I know Trump wouldn't stand for it, so I don't know. But I will grant that Trump's condition is a mental illness, but I declare him sane. I think he knows what he's doing. He's mentally ill, granted. I'll accept that, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that does not absolve him of responsibility here. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he knee-jerks into his lies. I don't think he's lying because he doesn't have any perception of what's real and what's not. Right. I think he just, that's the way he operates.
Well, we need to remain clear on that because I don't want that to be an escape hatch.
Yeah, no, absolutely fucking not. I mean, they would need to, and that's one of the reasons why I haven't gone down that road. First of all, because I'm not a psychologist.
You know, I think just as an amateur psychologist, I mean, I think any of us who have any basic or even tertiary understanding of psychology, I think it's fair to label him a sociopath.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to label him a narcissist. These are psychological terms, and I don't think we're stepping out of bounds by using them because it's very clear to everyone that these things are true. So there doesn't need to be, but that doesn't make him insane.
You're absolutely right. I think he is a sociopath. I think that is very, very clear. So in that sense, we're diagnosing.
You don't have to have a doctorate to see that. That's pretty plain. I mean, most of us would know like measles or something if we saw it.
Yeah.
And certain things we know, and we can take comfort in the fact that we know these things and be confident in that knowledge without. Pretending to be a doctor.
Well, let's take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll get into the Mark Pomerantz book and what he said about Donald Trump's mental state. All of that and more still on the show today. Back after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska plays more music.
It's a brand new single here from, well, let me see how I can best describe this this project. So they're now called Sub Red Lux. The song is called Everlasting Love. But I think you know Sub Red Lux by their previous names. Yes. It was the previously the Paul Madden Band, which was previously known as, well, the other project that preceded it was called Elijah Bone. And we all know Elijah Bone here on the show.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah, well, this is the great Dave Barrett on vocals and Paul Madden on guitar. And so they continue to evolve their project from the Paul Madden Band now to Sub Red Lux, right? That's all one word, Sub Red Lux, capital R, capital L in there. And this track, Everlasting Love, which I think... I don't think this is a world premiere on this show. I think it's been played elsewhere before.
Let's say it is. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a world premiere.
Okay,
there,
yes.
Now it's official.
We'll pretend. We'll make believe that it is. But Dave Barrett's one of the best from our indie music lineup.
Very
and,
pretty.
And link in the description to support this here's song. Okay. So we were talking about Mark Pomerantz saying that Donald Trump is absolutely guilty of financial crimes.
Yes.
This is very clear based on the evidence that he saw in the DA's office. And one of the reasons why he resigned, because it wasn't being adequately prosecuted. In fact, it appeared as though Alvin Bragg was walking away from the whole thing. But now
it looked like he was killing it. But now we find out he really just sort of shifted the direction of it a bit.
So on 60 Minutes the other night, Mark Pomerantz said, if you take the exact same conduct and make it not about Donald Trump and not about a former president of the United States, would the case have been indicted? It would have been indicted in a flat second, he said. Now, bear in mind, what he's talking about here is inflating assets for the purposes of getting loans, lowering his total net worth, lowering the value of his assets for things like tax documents and so on.
Tax fraud, bank fraud.
Yeah, it continues to be based on Michael Cohen's allegations from his House testimony. So then Bill Whitaker said, you said in your resignation letter that Bragg's decision amounted to a grave failure of justice. And Mark Pomerantz said, yes. And then Whitaker said, you still believe that? And Pomerantz said, yeah, I still believe it. And then Whitaker said, but don't prosecutors often disagree with decisions made by their bosses? I mean, what makes this different? And then Pomerantz said, given all the evidence that we had, nobody said, hey, the guy's not guilty. So it looks like, according to Pomerantz at least, that he's absolutely fucking guilty. And the extenuating circumstances of all of this is they were also concerned that Donald Trump was not fit to stand trial. Was Donald Trump suffering from some sort of mental condition that made it impossible for him to distinguish between fact and fiction? Mark Pomerantz writes in People versus Donald Trump. Pomerantz, who joined the Manhattan District Attorney's Office in early 2021, revealed that lawyers, quote, discussed whether Trump had been spewing bullshit for so many years about so many things that he could no longer process the difference between bullshit and reality. To rebut the claim that Trump believed his own hype, we would have to show and stress that Donald Trump was not legally insane.
Right.
That's a fascinating aspect of the prosecution. And if we see If we see an indictment, we're going to get probably experts, psychology witnesses testifying to Donald Trump's mental
fitness. Imagine, if you will, being a prosecutor and having to prove that Donald Trump is sane.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's just a matter of determining what's driving his disconnection with reality. I think it's a matter of him just covering his own ass, and I think that's what it's always been.
We have testimony from the January 6th investigation that clearly firms up that Donald Trump knew he had lost, for example, and yet continued. He knew he'd lost, continued to tell the lie. That's not insanity. That's knowing you didn't win and saying you won anyway. That's crazy behavior, but it's not the definition of insanity.
He has an extreme case of toxic positivity. Now, you say, well, the word positivity sounds like it's something positive and something that's a nice character trait to have. Well, in this case, no, absolutely not. And I think everyone knows what I'm talking about here. It's the toxic positivity manifests itself in Donald Trump saying, I'm the greatest. I could solve this problem in 24 hours if I was president. That's what I'm talking about. That I won this election. I didn't lose. It's impossible for me to ever lose.
I'm the winner, I'm the best, I have the biggest, you've heard it all, and that's what that is. That's what toxic positivity is. He's so positive about himself that it's toxic to the people around him.
Exactly. So that's what I think sometimes gets defined as having some sort of disconnect from reality, when in fact, it is a disconnect from reality, but it's part of his overall mindset, his worldview, his ego, his brittle insecurities. That's where that comes from. His brand, quite honestly. When he talks like that, I think it's more of a business decision than anything else. And remember, everything about Donald Trump plays into his brand. There's no one who amplifies his own brand more than Donald Trump. Like
toots his own horn, as it were. Yeah.
Yeah, but everything about him is part of that brand. His stupid hair helmet, his misshapen suits, the orange face makeup, the kabuki makeup, the hand gestures, the figures of speech that he uses. It's all part of this Donald Trump persona, which is exactly what the Trump organization sells. That's the whole driving element. If it wasn't for Donald Trump himself, there would be no Trump organization, because what people are buying when they slap the name Trump on their building that they build, that he doesn't build, what they're doing is they're buying everything about Donald Trump. I am the greatest. I am the richest. Everything is the best. The whole Taj Mahal business with the crystal chandeliers and all of the bogus nouveau riche gold-plated toilets. And that's all part of the Trump brand. And he can't abandon that. Otherwise, he'd be abandoning his business empire that circulates around that whole thing. So what we see, I think, is mental illness. Now, certainly, there's a lot of sociopathy there. I don't think he has any emotional regard for anyone else around him but himself.
No guilt, no regrets. No guilt, no regrets. Yeah.
Exactly. But beyond that, it's all the Trump brand. I mean, that's just my theory. I'm sure there are many differing opinions on this, but
Like I said, I wish Pomerantz hadn't brought the sanity thing up, but I really don't think it's going to be an issue. I think there's enough testimony and enough evidence that he knows the difference between fact and fiction.
Yeah.
And it's been demonstrated in what he has said versus what he has done, and that can be easily proved in court, perhaps without the assistance of psychological or psychiatric witnesses.
So Tucker Carlson was on his show last night, and, you know, I had the audio for this, and I've lost it. I don't know where the audio is for this clip. But suffice to say, I'm now saving you. My incompetence when it came to this audio clip is saving you from having to listen to a Tucker Carlson thing. That's the silver
lining. Your subconscious knew what was best.
Yes, I made a clip. I think Asen has it on his Twitter. I don't remember for sure. But he was saying on his show last night, cutting to the chase, he's pissed off that Joe Biden has appointed far more black women to the federal bench than white men. I think he said something to the effect of 46 black women have been appointed to the federal bench and only five white men have been appointed by Joe Biden. And that's wrong, he said. And that's illegal. That's racially discriminating against white people.
What is it about that he doesn't like? Yeah. Let me think.
I know. Well, he said, this does not look like America. Because America isn't 46% or whatever he was, whatever way he was spinning the statistics. Mm-hmm. 46 black women appointed to the federal bench. That's not America. That's not what America looks like. Well, yes, if you're talking to your fucking dummy listeners, your dummy viewers who believe your whiny diaper baby giggling and memes.
If you want to see what America looks like, look at the number of white male judges compared to the total number of black female judges.
Yes.
That's what America claims to look like, but doesn't really.
So here are the numbers. There are over 16,000 judges currently employed in the United States.
Oh, good. You have this.
49.7% of all judges are women, while 50.3% are men. But guess what? Okay. The actual demographics are opposite of that. There are more women than men in the United States. Well, there's one strike against Tucker. The average age of an employed judge is 46 years old. The most common ethnicity of judges is white. 75.7% of all judges are white, followed by Hispanic or Latino, 7.7%. That's a huge drop off. Asian, 6.4%, and black or African American, 5.5%. And that's completely underrepresenting the black population in this country, which is closer to 13%, by the way.
That's the true picture, not the one that Tucker Carlson, of course, paints.
And by the way, the 13% number is disputed in some arenas. So it could be more, it could be less. But around 13% of the American population is black, but only 5.5% of federal judges are black. So that's a problem. So what Joe Biden is doing is balancing out the scales a little bit, which I think is important. Also, he's choosing black women who are fucking qualified for the job. Ketanji Brown Jackson being the best example of that. So there are the numbers, and bite me, Tucker. Okay, a couple last things before we wrap up. First of all, recessions, schmecession, which I still have trouble saying. I come up with these zingers, Buzz, on Twitter, and then I have to go say them on the show.
Yeah, no, they're not pronounceable, are they?
Recession, schmecession.
There you go.
Huge job numbers announced on Friday. The lowest unemployment in 53 years. The last time unemployment was this low, Buzz?
Yes.
The Beatles' Get Back was number one on the charts.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Total non-farm payroll employment rose by 517,000 in January, and the unemployment rate changed little at 3.4%. What was the forecasted number? The estimates were like at 187,000 or something.
Correct. That was the estimate, yes.
Okay. I can't believe I remembered that.
You remembered correctly. Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah. So that completely trounced the estimates. And yet, as we're going to find out in the shadow docket, meh.
Yeah.
That's the reaction.
That's also just the tip of the good news, and we'll have more of that in the shadow docket as well. So come on around.
Yeah, it's like the old James Carville thing. What are you more upset about, the peace or the prosperity?
Yeah, there you go.
And I think that says everything we need to say, but we're still going to talk about it. Yeah. That's not all we have to say about this.
Oh, no.
At least for now. What are you more upset about, the peace or prosperity? I mentioned this on Carl Frisch's campaign kickoff for school board, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. Make sure to support Carl Frisch. He's running for re-election of the school board in Fairfax County, Virginia.
My old town.
Yes, I'm a product, for better or worse, of Fairfax County Schools, the public school system there. And I don't know what that says about Fairfax County Public Schools, but you be the judge.
I just lived and worked there.
Yes, but for the first time in forever, like at least in the last 20 years, we're no longer deeply ensconced in a fighting war overseas, at least with our troops on the ground.
Right.
And
there's your peace.
The economy continues to boom. There's peace and prosperity.
Right. Boom.
But for some reason, the word's not getting out. And I don't know why. I mean, I have some ideas.
We'll talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, some tough love coming up here on the Shadow Docket. That's our bonus content that we're presenting on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. We do it every Tuesday and Thursday. And by the way, tomorrow I've got Christopher Boozy from Spoutable on the Wednesday interview show. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Put in a word for me, will you?
Yeah, he hasn't confirmed. He hasn't confirmed yet, and he's super busy. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know he's busy.
A lot of heavy lifting involved with starting one of these things.
I know, he's doing a great job, though.
Yeah, I mean, as a guy with a limited staff and basically doing it all himself up to this point, I give him a lot of credit, man.
Rocking it, yeah.
By the way, just to add that if you're having trouble getting on Spoutable, I'm not tech support. First of all, if I were tech support, thank God I'm not, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to this stuff. So if you're having trouble getting on Spoutable, you can always tag Christopher Boozy or do the hashtag Spoutable with your screen grabs of 404 errors or what they are, whatever they are, server not available. Do that. Don't talk to me. Don't give me your problems. God damn it. All right. Christopher Boozy tomorrow.
Yay.
And you can follow Buzz Burbank. How can people follow you on Spoutable? Is it?
I'm on Spoutable.
Yeah.
It's at Buzz Burbank. It says Michael J. Elston at Buzz Burbank. So whichever one of those will find me, use that.